Motorcycle Man.
Hello, boys and girls, and welcome to episode 361 here on the Motorcycle Man podcast. Joining me today here in the V-Twin Cafe is Brian of Bri the Biker YouTube channel, and he is here to tell us all about his channel. So, but first, before we get into that, the Motorcycle Man podcast is brought to you by Scorpion Helmets. Now, they're offering high-quality, innovative motorcycle helmets and technical apparel at an incredible value. So to learn more, get on over to ScorpionUSA.com. And tell our buddy Chris over there that you want a new helmet. And Wild Ass Seats. Now, you can improve your comfort and ability to stay in the saddle longer with a cushion from Wild Ass Seats. So if you're tired of those painful pressure points and fatigue, get on over to wild-ass.com and get your cushion today. Tell the real Craig Johnson that the Motorcycle Man podcast sent you. Hey, listen, I used my cushion all the way to and from Sturgis this year and saved my butt and saved my anxiety and saved up all that fatigue for somebody else. So get yourself a Wild Ass cushion. And Tobacco Motorwear, for the best in casual riding gear for men and women, there's only one place you should be going, that is Tobacco Motorwear. Visit them at tobaccomotorwear.com, and our listeners will get 10% off your order when you use that code MOTOMEN. Now, everyone here at the podcast is wearing Tobacco riding jeans and the California riding shirt. I can't tell you how wonderful these products are. I wear them for every ride, and I won't ride without them. So your safety is worth it. Get on over there to Tobacco Motorwear and get in Dave's pants. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Motorcycle Men podcast. Here is episode 361, and I am Ted, your host here in the V-Twin Cafe in the corner booth. Joining me today in the corner booth is, do you go by Brian?
Yes.
Okay, well, Brian, or a.k.a. Bri the Biker from YouTube. Brian, how you doing, man?
I am good, sir. Thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome. Welcome to the show. So you're in Jersey, my home state of Jersey, right?
I am in the beautiful state of New Jersey.
How's the weather today up there?
It was like 77. I couldn't ride to work today.
Really?
I'm kind of pissed that I
couldn't ride to work.
No, it's we had a lot going on. We have a lot of senior staff in our building, so you know, can't bring the bike and
so
shovel.
All right, listen to me. I can't complain. I'm retired. I don't give a crap.
but it's weird because this is like one of the few times. It just seems like it's been all rain. It's all it's been here.
Well, yeah, my brother was telling me that it has been raining a little bit more than usual up there. But hey, you know, it's early September. You know, no, actually, it's actually mid-September. Oh, yeah, it's kind of unusual, actually. Oh, well, it's, you know, it's the fall transition. That's what's happening up there.
It's the best time of year to ride.
Absolutely, absolutely is. So, why, before we get too crazy here, tell us who you are, your motorcycle self, what you do.
So, I am Brian. I go by Bri the Biker on YouTube. Let's see. I've been on YouTube for about 4 years, probably about 2.5 years seriously. I started riding at 40. I've got 11 years into riding. I'm on my 7th bike in 11 years.
What? Yeah. Bikes in 11 years?
I may have an issue, Ted. I was thinking about that on the way.
Well, let me ask you this. Are the others, are they in your garage now, all 7 of them?
No.
I'm
one bike guy at a time.
Oh my God!
But I think my first year riding, I went through 3 bikes just because I was, you know, stepping up. And yeah, it's a huge passion. Like I said, I've been doing YouTube for a couple years now, and it's been exciting. Been a really exciting ride.
Well, let's talk about your 7 bikes. From the beginning to now, what have they been?
Oh, I can just hear the side chair, the fans explode. So I started with a Bergman 400cc scooter.
I'm sorry to hear that, but go ahead.
Yeah, I know. Talk about turning in your manual.
Actually, I can't say the Bergman's supposed to be pretty cool, apparently.
Yeah, I don't know. And it's funny now to think about it. I was very, for whatever reason, afraid of having a motorcycle with a manual transmission. It seemed like it was just too much for me.
Yeah.
So I had the 400. So that was April. I had the 400. I traded that in on a 650 Bergman, which was the dumbest thing I ever did. And then I want to say by December, I bought a KLR. So I had an official real motorcycle.
Wow. My friend Nick Adams, the author, Nick Adams, in his latest book, he talks about a trip he did to Nova Scotia on a Bergman 650. So
I'll tell you what, people give them a lot of crap. That 400 would do 100 on the turnpike all day long.
Yeah. It was
a,
no, thanks.
You know, I'm not saying it was manly, but that was that was the first road trip I did. I did about halfway through to Route 6 on that. I went to Kane and came back, and I don't know.
Route 6 is awesome, by the way.
Yeah, we've done Route 6, or I've done Route 6 on at least three bikes.
Is that so, for Route 6 and then what? 205 or 204? No, 402, 405. I can't remember now. Those roads that go north. There's another road that goes north and south through. Oh God, what the hell's the name of the town? Marshall's Corner.
Okay.
All right. There's a road that goes north out of there that hits 6, and it's that just the roads are just awesome up there in that area.
Yeah, it's really weird too because the last time we were up there, Katie and I were up there, the roads were crap. The roads were really beat up.
So oh, really? Well,
you
yeah.
know, but it's seasonal. It's PA. But it's a wonderful ride.
Oh, my God.
It's just
yeah.
a very slow paced, old school America ride.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of great little towns in there.
Every time I rode that road, well, I shouldn't say that. I've never done it on a motorcycle. I was always in my car or truck. And it never failed. But every time I got on that road, I was stuck behind an RV towing something. But getting back to your Bergman, but FYI, KLR 650 is one of the ugliest motorcycles ever. But go
it
on,
is.
Yeah.
That's why it was affectionately known as the Beast. That was a great bike. So I had that. I met my wife Katie. We went out on the KLR. Any woman that's willing to ride with you two up on a KLR she's a keeper.
She's a keeper. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, she's definitely a keeper. So then I traded that in. I had an Intruder 1500. That I had looked at for like a year. So
really?
That was, it's basically the predecessor to the C90T, the Suzuki. Nice
okay.
bike. A little bit of a pig. I mean, it was a big bike with not a lot of power. So
right.
it was a little iffy. We rode the hell out of that. That went on Route 6. And then at one point I owned two bikes. I had a Versus 650, which was my commuter bike.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, for whatever reason, I didn't like the Intruder in traffic. But the nice part of what I liked with the Versus was that it was basically a KLR that, you know, graduated to like it wasn't the ugly stepsister. It was basically all the fun of the KLR, but it was a much more,
it was the ugly stepbrother.
Yeah, it was the ugly stepbrother, but it was the, parallel twin. That was a fun bug. We didn't have that long, or I didn't have that long. And, we went to test ride a limited at Barb's and walked out with one.
Oh God, really?
Yeah, we had rode. We were talking about earlier with like Cranberry and the Pines. We took the Intruder out. We were riding, stopped at the house, and Katie got off the back of it and about fell off the bike because she just was so uncomfortable with her back.
Yeah.
And the next day, she's like, "Oh, what are you doing?" I was like, "Oh, you know, as much as I want a Road Glide, I want to go test a Batwing out because you know they're so much cheaper, at least at the time.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
it's cheap nowadays, yeah. But." Went in, we took it out for a test ride, and she, kid you not, it's in the middle of Sherwin going, "I don't believe I'm going to say this, buy the bike." Buy a bike? Like, yeah. Even the salesman's like, "I just expected you to take a test ride, never see you guys again." But I had rode a Road Glide in 2018 at Atlantic, was it Atlantic County? The one right by AC, I forget which one it is. And I had thought about that bike every day since, and it was just not in the cards.
Yeah.
And we got the Ultra and I was hooked. I was never a Harley guy. But
welcome to the family.
It was a life change. Yeah. You know, I get it. I totally get it now.
But, that's just it. People are like, "Oh, I hate it. And then you're right. You go like, "Yeah, okay, I get it."
The funniest part is we were both those people. You know, I've had a couple of people buy Harley, so we've been in the dealerships and we were at Atlantic County, or let's just, whatever it is that we call Atlantic County. And we stopped there the next day, I think, to get poker chips, because that's how they sucker you in.
Oh, sure.
And I turn around, and Katie's got a Harley fleece on that she didn't walk in with.
Right.
We sold out already. Damn it. But yeah, it's been an adventure ever since. And then last April, we bought the Rogue Glide. And yeah. That's that was always my dream bike. Always the bike, even before pre-Rushmore. Yeah. I really wanted one of those. And it's funny because I wanted one when it was the ugly stepsister. You know, now everybody has them. So everybody's like, oh, you're a joiner. I'm like, well, we couldn't afford one in 13.
Yeah, well.
I have one.
Hey, you know, a nice bike is a nice bike, and you can't argue with that. You know, it's a nice bike. You know, that's it. So, you know, if that's what you want and that's what you get, it's your thing. Good for you.
I always like that argument. It's like, oh, you know, that's crap. Well, unless you're paying for it or you gave it to me, your opinion really doesn't matter.
Exactly. Are you paying for it? Do you ride it? Do you like it? I don't care what you think. That's right.
But, I was get a kick out of that.
Yeah. But so Bri the Biker YouTube channel, what inspired or what made you decide to jump into the vlogger pool?
Oh, God. Bad decisions. I was up too late at night.
So had one too many drinks.
Back, I have a professional photography background. I used to shoot photojournalism. I was a sports photographer. I've always been interested in photography.
Yeah.
And I guess it's right before I started the channel. The company I was working for was looking for someone to do video work, just simple video work.
Yeah.
And they wanted me to learn how to edit. Well, the only way I could think of to learn how to edit is like shoot my own stuff and bought a GoPro. And
yeah.
That was a rabbit hole.
But hey, you sucked right in.
Yeah, you know, I started learning Premiere Pro. I wanted to really just, you know, create. And then, you know, I met so many great creators, and I just started, you know, making more stuff. And then, you know, you get kind of sucked into it.
You know all the YouTubers I talk to, 99.9% of them are using Premiere Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't justify the cost.
I was using iMovie for the longest time on my Mac. And then.
Oh, you're a Mac user?
Yeah.
Ah, thanks for joining me on the podcast. We'll see.
And thanks. And enjoy my Bergman. Yeah, when I was working at the food company, I started doing video work. That's what the marketing team was. Used. So they told me I had to learn Premiere, and I was like, dear God, you opened this thing up, and I had no idea what it did.
Right.
Because I was used to using iMovie. If you've ever used iMovie, it's about as simple as it gets. And I went down that rabbit hole. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you there's not probably things better and certainly things cheaper, but it's what I know.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like, could I go to something else? Yes. But then how many months is it going to take me to be proficient?
Yeah.
For me, it's...
I think with any video editing software, they're pretty much kind of got the same format and layout. You just have to learn their quirks beyond that. I've been using, it's called CyberLink, PowerDirector. I've been using that for
a lot of people using it.
Been using that for a few years. And, you know, I'm thinking like, well, maybe I'll go to Premiere. Then I'll look at the cost and I go, what I'm using is fine.
it's really weird because I know people that'll argue with you up and down about DaVinci Resolve, and I tried it and I was like, it's like going from a metric to a Harley, right? Like the buttons aren't in the same place. It's just weird, you know. Again, I don't know that it's a bad thing. I tried Final Cut Pro, the steroid version of iMovie, and it's just, I don't know. It's just what I'm comfortable with.
I mean, sometimes. You know? I mean, we jumped ahead a little bit in the interview, but sometimes that the software, it's like it gets more difficult than it needs to be.
100%.
You know, you can do all your edits all you want, and you make your cuts and your fades and blah blah blah, add text and all that stuff like that. You don't necessarily need all the bells and whistles to do that. You know.
Yeah, I mean that's. Yeah, we can revisit it. Yeah,
you know, if Microsoft Paint does it for you, then you can just keep using it.
I really need an editor. If anyone wants to work for you, quality work, I'm your guy.
Yeah, well, but yeah, I mean, are you happy now that you're in that? You're doing your moto vlogging, and
I am. I mean,
you dig it?
It's been an amazing experience. I mean, you were on with Denver. You know, there's just so many people I wouldn't have met without this community.
Yeah, I'm telling you. Isn't it weird, man?
And I'm, as a role, I mean, I can turn it on, but I'm pretty introverted. So it was kind of weird to just find these people that you could be like, hey, I'm having a problem with, you know, like Premiere Pro or audio. And there's just so many people that are willing to help you. Yeah. And it's, I think that's the more value than YouTube itself.
Sure. And on the other end of the spectrum, and I'm sure you may agree with this, is that there are some people who are just virtually untouchable. And, you know, you just like, I have a question for you. Can you give me a hand? And then just like crickets, man. You hear nothing. You know, there's those that are willing to help, and then there's those that are willing to tell you to go away.
or they want to give you some regurgitated device. Yeah. Advice. You're like, okay, that's great. I could get that off of Think Media.
Yeah, thank you very much. I can type into Google. How do I do this? Right.
You know, you can always hear clicking in the background.
Yeah. So on your channel, you're doing product reviews, rides, gear installs, and a host of other things. What is your favorite thing to do on your channel? Don't say editing and I'll slap you.
It's not editing. It's not responding to comments. Yeah. Although each and one of the trolls, I love you all. You really do drive the analytics. I don't know. It's hard because I think installs, I think reviews are cool. The installs become really difficult because it's, I've done a lot of work with Custom Dynamics and amazing product, but it's just, to film, I feel like you could install it in like a half hour in a beer, you know, if you weren't filming, rather.
Yeah.
If you're filming, it's like 10 days. It feels like it is because, you know, you're filming, inevitably something happens or you don't have the right tools or, you know, you blow the shot, the audio shot, so you got to redo it. It's tough, but it's rewarding because that's the evergreen video. That's the stuff that people will always watch.
I think that when you're doing gear installs, is the hardest because those videos, the raw footage is the longest because you'll install it, realize you fucked it up, then you got to back it up and do it over again, but you just keep the video going. So you're editing for 4 or 5 days, you know?
So. Yeah, I have a video that I put the lights on and I'm talking and I realized they were upside down. And I was like, well, see, this is what happens, you know, and you switch around and you can do it.
Do some creative editing and make it look good, right?
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, that's it.
But at the end of the day, right, sometimes I think that as a creator, you overthink it, right? You want this really polished product, but I'm just a guy in my driveway doing installs, you know, so it's not... I like have a garage and a light bank and I'm doing all this crazy stuff.
Right.
So I think it adds more to the genuine value of it. And let's face it. I mean, we've all done that. Nothing ever goes to plan. It just doesn't.
No. You could script it till cows come home and it's still going to go wrong.
Yeah. Or you're outside and like a car drives by. And you're
well,
like,
of course. Oh, yeah, of course. You know, yeah.
My neighbor comes over to talk to me. I'm like, I'm filming. I just can't.
Oh, okay. I'll come back. No problem. You know, yeah, exactly. No, but as far as it goes for the gear reviews, are these gear? Is this stuff that you've bought and used, or is this stuff that they've sent to you and said, "Here, please review this"?
A little of both. So
oh, really?
Really
okay.
When I started, a lot of it was out of my own pocket, and it still is. Like the full exhaust system I have on the Road Glide is all my own money. But I've been very fortunate from early on to get channels or not channels, but companies to kind of come on board and support that.
Yeah.
And I'll be freely honest. I mean, there's no way in hell that either one of those bikes have done the way they were done without help.
Right.
And I'm very grateful for that. And it's interesting to me that even companies want to work with me because it's like, really, you're going to send me that? Cool.
You know?
But
right now, I think on your channel, if I'm not mistaken, you have like a little over 4,000. So yeah, like almost 5,000 subscribers.
Yeah, we're kissing 5,000.
Yeah,
I'm pretty excited. That's going to be huge.
That's really cool because you know, and you've reached that point now where there's money potential here. You know.
Yeah, I mean, for me, and you mentioned about the products. For me, the return's always been in the products.
Right? Yeah,
because
exactly right.
You make $30 and then like Advan Black send you bags. And you're like, well, that's $1,000. That's pretty cool, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Really cool.
See, that's why, you know, with having sponsors is one thing, but finding sponsors that are going to give you cash versus product, that's where the balance comes in. And I think for the majority of the YouTubers and podcasters out there, people are getting product. Now, I doubt very seriously there's people getting money. You know?
And that's the hard part. Because if you talk to the bigger companies, I think they get it. But you get a lot of these little companies that and nothing against a lot of the overseas, like I wouldn't like second or third tier brands. But they send you something and they want to make these demands and you're like, okay, but it's a $50 product, you know, it's like, and I understand they want the return on their investment, but they don't realize that they're kind of in line of, you know, other things.
Yeah. Take a number.
But it's weird too, because I've worked with bigger companies and you're like, hey, look, I got sick, I got COVID, you know, whatever. And they're like, whatever. Just when you get to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool that way, you know. But you know, you're doing the reviews and you're getting the products and you get to try them out. And do you use them or do you just give them away?
No, I use everything that I have. There's been very few things that I've gotten that I don't continue to use. And it's a balance too, because in the beginning you get caught up and you're like, oh, this is really cool. Such and such is going to send me this, or such and such is going to say that, and then you're kind of like, well, but if it's not something I organically going to use that's going to affect the brand,
right. Do I need a lipstick holder? No, I don't. Right.
Yeah. Okay, Mike. But I mean, maybe when I had the scooter, but it's weird because I've tried to, as I've grown, is kind of latch onto the what I would call the tier one brands, you know, because that's for my demographic. Let's face it, you know, 51 years old, I'm not going to ride, you know, cross rocket.
No,
so
I get it.
I get it. I think if you stay in line with the more premium brands, it's a win-win because
getting the tier one, as you call it, the tier one brands is a task within itself.
It is.
You know, the tier two and the tier threes. Well, the tier twos aren't knocking on your door, but they're not going to turn you away. The tier threes are knocking on your door.
Yeah.
You know, I've turned away a lot of tier threes.
Yeah. You know, and I don't know.
I don't like their product. I just have no room for their product, you know, or I'd have no need for it. You know, there's, can I give this stuff away? Maybe, you know, but. Yeah. But the tier two people, yeah, you know, they're slow to respond, but they're there.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Do you love all things about comic books? The stories, the art, the characters, the creators? Then listen to Comics Discourse 114, where three friends discuss both current and classic comic books from all publishers and the creators behind them.
No. Yeah, and it's hard because, you know, you want to, especially when you're starting out, like you get, I was going to go somewhere with that, but it's weird too because it wasn't bad.
I get it.
My head's all over the place. There's a brand that they sent me, a sissy bar that looks very similar to the Suicide Chopper sissy bar.
And if you looked really?
I'll be honest, and I hate to say this, I couldn't even pronounce the brand if I tried. Like, I'd have to really think about it when I do the video. But it's phenomenal quality.
Right.
But you wouldn't think it would be, because you've never heard of the brand.
Right.
So it's kind of hit or miss.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. And you don't want to put yourself in that situation where somebody's going to call you up and say, is that ours? You know, and you go, no, but, no.
Well, yeah, and then there's also the issue, the ethical issue of, you know, if you endorse it, I mean, things are going to change, right? You could run a seat for a long time, or gloves, or boots, or jackets, helmets, anything, and then you organically change brands. But there's a lot of channels that are doing that now, where every month it's the greatest thing in the world. Like, you know?
Yeah, I don't really agree with that, because at that point it just sounds like pandering.
Yeah, I mean, you know, if you're changing a helmet every two weeks or 2 months, I mean, I get it and I don't. I mean, and strictly unless you're looking at it from a reviewable content where you're going to review the product and people know that you're not going to see it on the bike anymore. Because I always tell people, if you see something, leave the bike, there's a reason for it.
Right, exactly.
You know, whether it's, right. It might just be that I moved on, or it could be that, you know, we've moved on. You know, maybe it became a crappy product for me. Right. You know, I'm not going to burn bridges, but.
Well, for me, and like, and this maybe extends on to you, if you believe in the product, you're going to use it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's just it. And nothing on my show, I believe in. You know, I believe in every single thing that's on my show, and that's why I continue to use and endorse it. You know, and that's just the way. I would like to think everybody goes that way with it. You know, you don't know. But, you know, you wonder what these folks who have 100, 200, 300, maybe 500 million subscribers, you wonder what they're doing.
And it's tough because it's content, right? But at the same time, you know, unless you're going to organically say, hey, look, I'm going to review 100 seats and, you know, you're probably not. I mean, you see a lot. Is it Fortnite? You see his channel and, you know, do you see his personal bike much? I don't, you know, I didn't personally, but, you know, it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But I think it's hard if I'm going to endorse a product and say, this is, you know, this is the seat I use, this is the pipes I run. And then you don't see them anymore. It's kind of like, well, that's weird.
Like, yeah. If you don't see it anymore, you go like, oh, okay.
Yeah. It's Like, he doesn't have that on. Or worse, you show up to a meetup and they're like, wait a minute.
Yeah. All right. Where is that? Like, you raved about it for so long. Now you're not using it. Hey, tell us about this Beyond the Biker series. You haven't done one in a while. Are you gonna bring that back?
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say that because that's something I miss. I went with the Beyond the Rider series because I really wanted to take the journalism analogy that everyone has a story. You can pick anybody up, and if you sit and talk to them long enough, they have that one piece that's really engaging and interesting.
Yeah.
And I kind of ran with that concept, and then I guess it was probably mid-COVID. Everybody was doing lives, and it was like, oh, you should do a live. You should make a live out of it. And then I just realized that just became a shit show because you're trying to engage with the side chat, especially if you get somebody on there. I've had a few companies that were on very nice enough to give me their time, but then they're distracted because everybody's trying to get their attention and it doesn't organically flow. So yeah. I want to go back to that. That's one of the things that I want to work on this winter. And I was talking to a few people today about coming on. I feel like it's much like yours. It's this, that one-on-one, it just feels like a conversation. You know, you're not trying to deal with side chat.
That's why I do it like that. Now, I could do this live thing and have the side scroll going up there with people chat, but yeah, like I said, it's a distraction, you know, you won't get that total complete one-on-one thing that we got going on here.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's the thing that I always thought was interesting with your show is you can pivot between the no guest episodes and, you know, have fun with your brothers, but then you can do the one-on-one and you can pivot to that because not many people can. You know, and, you know, let's face it, how many drunken live streams can there be?
I'm not saying, oh, thankfully, I've never done ones.
Yeah. The worst is you're like, I was doing what? Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, it's not against anybody that does it. I just found for me, you kind of get with these trends and I'm finding more and more that, you know, you just have to carve out your own niche. You know, if you want to sit and have a conversation and that's valuable to you, the listener, hopefully, or the viewer, whatever medium it's in, is going to find that value. You know, they're going to be more engaged with it rather than it just being like complete Yahoo fest.
But again, we don't do Yahoo fest.
What makes you happy?
No. You know, so that's the way, that's why I do it the way I do it. You know, I just want it to be. I don't script nothing. You know, it's got to be a conversation. That's the way it has to be. But
I think there's a lot of value to that.
I just thought your Beyond the Biker series was pretty cool, and it's like, God, dude, stop doing this. What's wrong?
Yeah,
it's one of those products you stopped using, is what it is.
Yes, but you should still buy it. Yeah. I feel like me endorsing Honda and I show up on a Harley. Yeah, hell, bro.
No, we don't do that.
No, and there's, and you touched on something I think is really important. There's a lot of people, especially starting out, and I've seen this so many times, it's disgusting. It's like, hey, Brian, I'm going to start a YouTube channel. So how do I get a hold of, you know, XYZ company? Because I want them to send a product that I can review. And I'm like, you don't even have content. I'm like, what's the pitch for that? You know, like, can you send me X so I can do a review for the channel I don't have? Like,
get 100 or so videos up and you know, have the conversation.
Head down, do the work, and people will come. It's gonna take work.
You know, it's like, it's build it and they will come, pretty much.
Exactly. and it's the same in your space. Everyone thinks that, you know, if you're getting X, it's free. It's like,
you gotta do some work involved. You gotta do some work.
There's equipment involved. It's nonstop.
So how long you've been doing videos now?
I think As on the regular, probably about 3 years.
About 3 years. How long did it take you? How long did it take you to hit that? Well, it took 3 years to hit 5,000. How long did it take you to hit 1,000? I mean, that must have been, that's like, you get 1,000, you go, oh my God, yay!
I dropped a $1 million Bogan video when Bogan had that whole fallout with Harley.
I remember that, yeah.
We can discuss it later. I don't know, you know, knowing what it was, but I think I went from 300 to 6, I swear, within like a week. It was insane.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first time I ever had a video hit. And it was kind of, I wasn't prepared for that. Like, you know, people were either trashing me, and then I got, God bless everyone from Australia that watches my channel. They are relentless to people that troll Danny. I mean, they were just like relentless. Like, people were on there like, how dare someone put a thumbs down on this video?
Yeah.
Who do you think you are? I don't remember. I want to say it might have been a year, because I wasn't really serious about it in the beginning. I was, but I wasn't looking at it from the marketing side of it, like trying to push the channel.
Wow. Damn.
But now it's, you know, now I think it is, as you learn, you know, you're starting to understand things, and I don't know, some days you just have no idea. You do a piece of,
a
piece of work.
You find like you could do a video that you think is the greatest thing since sliced bread. And you really put your time and effort, you just drop your whole soul into it, and then you come off of it, and it's got like, you know, 75 views, and you're going, what the hell?
Yeah, I put up a short as a joke that the other day, like, you know, did my FedEx driver damage my Harley parts with a question mark? The video, I think the last I checked, has got 450,000 views for a short. And after 40 days, it just exploded. It went from like 1,000 views to now it's at like some ridiculous number that's got like 350 subs. And I'm like, what? I don't understand. I just don't. And
yeah, bad FedEx drivers ruin Harley parts. It's got 447,000 views.
And the comments are priceless.
What? Oh my God.
When it took off, I guess it was like a week ago. So it's been out there for 40 days. It died a death. I just thought it was funny. And then, you know, people were accusing me of trying to get the FedEx driver fired. And then people were like, oh, it's because it's Harley and they're shit parts anyway. So who cares if they got dropped? And it's
unbelievable. Like, that's funny.
Wow.
I can't get into the shorts. I just can't get into them.
I just do them for entertainment. I was looking at my analytics before I came on, and like the top five videos within the last 48 hours are all shorts, and they're all older shorts. Like, it's not like they're brand new ones.
Wow.
So see? I don't know. Sometimes I think you just have to, I think YouTube must have adjusted the algorithm, because for that many shorts to take off that weren't that big.
I don't know. I think they're just trying to compete with TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and of course, Instagram Reels and or Facebook Reels, whatever. But now, getting back to the getting back to the products inside. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, favorite
that you've reviewed, I should say.
Yeah, Katie and I were arguing about this in the car last night about, you know, what the favorite was. I would say, from just a purely, and this is one I bought. I have full Chromeworks exhaust on my bike with the Eclipse finish, the 4.5 ones, and I freaking love those pipes.
Yeah,
they just have such a great sound to them. I've had Chromeworks on my previous, my Limited, but I never had a full system, and they just, because I have a full stage 2 bike, and it just sounds nasty as hell. And you know, and it's funny because people were like, "Oh, you got them?" I'm like, no, I paid all the money for them.
Yeah. Wow, man. Oh, see, because sometimes you get like stuff that comes along, you just, you know, you have to love it, you know, and you do love it, and then you got to broadcast, and then people don't believe you.
Yeah, you know, people were like, "Oh, you got this free?" I'm like, no. I mean, you figure by the time you get it tuned and the pipes, you're looking at over 2K. But I love them. And from a comfort standpoint, like, do you need them?
No.
They sound hella good. And I guess that's the madness of owning a Harley, right?
Yeah, kind of.
Don't want it to sound. I think when I got it, it had 2-in-1 Reinhardts, and they had some rust on them. They're in pretty bad shape. And I had Reinhardts before. I took them off, and I put the full Chromeworks system on. And the first time it started, I was like, here's my credit card. Just take my money. Like, this is just
wow.
This is fantastic. It really changed the way the bike sounded.
Damn. My bike came with Screaming Eagle 2s on it.
Yeah.
Ungodly loud, man. Those, I don't know if you've ever heard them. They're just tremendously loud. And on a Heritage, because the pipes are offset the way they are, mm-hmm. one of the pipes would end like just before where my head is. So you can't hear yourself think. And I'm like, I can't ride like this. So I don't mind. I don't need my bike to be loud. So I just got the OEM pipes on there and they're just fine. You know, that's it. But everybody's got their thing, you know?
Yeah, and it's weird because you see it on social media too. People will argue to death about pipes, and it's like, I don't know. It's just, it's what I like.
Yeah,
it's the way
exactly.
I like it to sound. You know? It's, gets back to, if you're not cutting a check, I don't care. What you're
paying, you know? Exactly. It doesn't matter to me.
Because everybody's really on this kick of really loud pipes. And for me, at least, I'm not going to throw anybody on the bus, but I've had some loud pipes and I didn't like the ringing it left in my ears, but I also didn't like it had no bass.
There you go.
Where people assume that my Chromeworks pipes are loud, but you feel them just as much as you hear them. So it's right. got a different...
It's got a rumble to it. Now you feel the rumble. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I've heard, yeah, like you said, some pipes you can hear, you know, a mile away and it's just obnoxious. So we don't bother with that. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Your videos are generally short and sweet. Is that intentional?
I think for reviews, I don't feel like there should be much fluff. Do you know what I mean? Like if you're doing an install, they're already long enough. Like I've had installs that are 20-minute installs.
Yeah.
I feel bad for someone. Like it's 20 minutes of your life you're never getting back. I hope it's helpful, but you're never getting it back. I know everyone says that you should try and keep it to 10 minutes because there's the mid-roll ads.
That's
and stuff
so hard change to do. That.
But yeah, I mean, you're saying about things I love. I have a Mustang Super Deluxe Touring Seat. I love that seat. Bought it myself. Absolutely love that seat. And, you know, it's a seat. Like, how long can you talk about a seat? You know,
that's where you do... You know, seat review and ride. That's pretty much. Yeah,
you know, I guess you could. I guess, you know, I'm just not that person. because I think, too, there's a lot of the click-through rate with YouTube is so difficult because you want to put together a video that engages people. From a creator standpoint, you want to make money. But at the same time, you want people to stay engaged. You know, like, do I really want to do the... Yeah, you could intermix B-roll, I guess, with it, but it's kind of tough. Like I've done a lot of boot and glove reviews, and how long can you really talk about something? You know, it's not. I don't know. I'm not a fluff guy. Like I know a lot of people get on. It's a 10-minute video in the start of just some craziness, and then they're going to review something. It's not
guilty as charged.
But there's nothing wrong with it. You know what I mean? No. It's just it really, I guess, organically has to suit your personality.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because I come from a tech background. I just kind of want it quick and dirty. You know, just kind of make it bang, bang, bang. I don't know. Both have merits.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess. You know, I mean, it certainly means a lot less editing.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I've gotten it down where I generally don't have to do jump cuts. Like if I talk about something, if it's in a single burst, I don't have to go back and cut it. Like I try and make it sound organic. Like my wife always makes fun of me. She's like, you didn't say that right. I'm like, okay, but that's how I talk. You know, like I may have to loop around. You know,
around a mulberry bush a few times and you'll get there.
Yeah. I mean, for a while, I don't know if you see it as much now, but you used to see these videos. They were so polished. Somebody would say something and you'd see their head cut to the other side, you know, for the next word and they would like pop around.
Oh yeah. 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 You see lots of that. Oh yeah.
Yeah. It just doesn't feel like you wouldn't watch a movie like so what is, you know, but again, it's everybody's, I think sometimes that making it over polished is almost as bad as it being crap.
Yeah.
You know, because you can go down that gear rabbit hole where, you know, you can so overthink it and it's really difficult.
Well, you know, I've talked to a lot of people who they prefer to do the narration over video as opposed to doing live on camera chat because they feel that they're like a bumbling idiot when they get in the camera and they can't talk straight. And I say, well, that's the best part. That kind of like that shows your humanity, you know. You know, but that's but again, some people are just more comfortable with the narration aspect of it because they can script it out.
Yeah, I mean, you can script it out, but then you also have the audio component of trying to do it on a bike, which is, as you know, is just difficult on a good day.
Yeah, on a good
day. You know, or your GoPro doesn't work, or the audio is screwed up, or it might not plug in. So
no, that doesn't happen at all.
No.
Of course not. Cables don't go bad when you're riding. Come on.
You can't say how many videos I've shot, and you're like, oh man, I freaking nailed that. And you're like, my wife would be like, oh, I just realized the audio is not running. I'm like,
does your wife help you with your videos?
She does. She is. She's my camera person. She's gotten really well, really good with it. She's, you know, we because of what I shoot with, it becomes difficult. So she's been really good with trying to help me out and you know, making sure everything's running, because that's right. The worst part is that I can't visually tell, as a rule, if I'm really engaged doing something, I can't tell if it's running or not. Like, did I lose audio? Did something get disconnected? Because with installs, it's hard, because if you're using a lavalier mic and the mic gets unplugged from the mic set, you're just like, I'm not going to know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because she's been extremely helpful with that.
Is she directing you also?
No. I mean,
yeah.
She just tells me I'm an idiot.
That's directing.
Yeah, it's true.
That's directing.
Like, well, I wouldn't have said it that way. All right, tell you what, I'm going to mic you up.
Yeah, right.
Everybody wants to be the Monday morning quarterback.
Of course. What is your favorite part of creating your videos for your channel?
I think the technical aspect. I really like trying to set up the shot, think about, you know, what I'm trying to do. And you don't always see that in every video, but it's always the cool ones where, especially with installs that are difficult, that you can get different angles and stuff where people are like, oh, that's really cool. Like, you can actually see it because you kind of have the ability to kind of zoom in and really show it. I think that's really cool. The editing's not bad. I mean, now that I've gotten a flow for it, but
yeah.
I think the actual creation part and just sort of kind of working through the process. Sometimes it's weird too. The process that I enjoy isn't necessarily doing it much as it is like kind of figuring out what I want to do, like storyboarding it. I don't physically storyboard it.
I was going to say, man,
you kind of think like, all right, well, I want to start here. I want to bookend it this way. Here are the things that I want to talk about. And, you know, I'm an only child, so I'll just talk to myself in the car. It's kind of like you go through and you think about it. I think that's probably the best part.
And then when you go to shoot it, it's nothing like you wanted it to be.
Oh, no. You know, you're stripping screws, you're forgetting tools, or in my case, I've broken a few things. That's an uncomfortable call. Let me tell you.
Doesn't happen.
So, remember that thing you sent me when it broke it?
Wow. What is your least favorite part?
I think trying to figure out YouTube. I mean, seriously, like you said, I've put stuff out that I was so proud of. You know, technically, you're like, man, this is freaking tight, and nobody watches it. You know, and then like we're joking around. You know, and there's a security camera, this 100-hour security camera that's got more views than anything that's ever gotten on my channel. You're like, well, shit. I was joking with my buddies. Like, maybe we just need to. I need to stay on some Ring door cams, and maybe that'll be my new channel.
Yeah, there's no rhyme or reason to any of it, you know.
Now, and YouTube's such a moving target too, because you know, like you said, the shorts are really big, but it's kind of hard to take an install video, and make a short out of that, and make it engaging.
Yeah,
because right? It's not. You know, it's good and bad, I suppose.
Well, you know, you think about it. It was if this was 5 years ago, maybe even more. Let's go 7 years ago, and you're just starting out as a motorcycle YouTuber. You probably would have a crap load more subscribers and viewers than you do, because like, you know, back then it was hard to find, really. But now, you know, we're among a dime a dozen.
Yeah, and it's hard too, especially with the attention span. I mean, people watch a channel for a while and they get bored. You know, like some people, you know, they'll watch a channel for a while to be all in. I'm guilty of that. And the next thing you know, something else comes along.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you're just watching, you know, maybe you're watching something for a personality and then something happens where you disagree with that person, so you move on. It's like ADD television.
It absolutely is.
And it's weird too. Like you can start watching any topic, and the next thing you know, you spend all day like watching videos of Area 51. I don't
know
why.
Forget it. Yeah.
Went down a rabbit hole.
let's talk about your gear. What do you use as far as goes for cameras? What kind of cameras are you using? How many are you using?
I feel like this should come with a disclaimer. This will probably get you divorced and ruin your credit. I just want to apologize to any spouse that hears this. So I use a Canon R6, which is a full-frame mirrorless camera. It's that's my baby. So I shoot with Canon R6. I primarily shoot with a 24-105 f/4 and a 35mm 1.8. That's my they're my bread and butters of that.
So these are SLRs you're using?
Yes, it's a new mirrorless digital camera.
Wow. Holy crap. I would have thought, you know, you would be using an actual video camera, sort of like a GoPro.
You know, it's weird because the company that I mentioned before, that or off camera or whatever it was that we were working for, I had one of their like prosumer, probably in the same grade sort of price range as the R6, but you couldn't do as much with it. You know, it was cool because you could record forever, but you couldn't do some of the slick stuff you can do with mirrorless. And I was, I mean, if you would ask me 4 years, well, maybe say 6 years ago, oh, you can buy this camera and you can shoot video. But like, how dumb is that? You know, like who wants a camera that shoots video and is like an SLR? But I mean, it's a game changer. It really is. I mean, really? Once you shoot with that format and you have the ability to have, you know, a stills camera, that's a video camera and all that, it's a game changer. It really is.
That's your off camera video stuff, right? What do you use for on bike stuff?
For on bike, I shoot with GoPros. I have two GoPro Heroes 9s, and I have a 360 X2 or whatever they call it.
Oh, you got a 360, do you? Ah, Mr. Yeah, Moneybags, huh?
No, that was that thing confuses me. It's just too much going on.
I am told that it is an editing nightmare with that thing.
And I know people that are friends of mine that can produce epic video with it. I'm like, I don't know. It's weird because the GoPro I used to understand, and now that I went to the mirrorless camera, every time I go to use the GoPro, I'm like, well, how do you do this? It's almost too simple. But, you know, it's what you use. And the problem with any of this, especially with the GoPros, is, you know, they're almost disposable. Well, I wouldn't say they're disposable. They're certainly expensive, but they're, you know, you use a GoPro and it seems, you know, they're every year now. It's like an iPhone. Here comes September. It's a new GoPro.
I'm still using the 8.
What's that?
I'm still using the 8. and I have the original GoPro Hero that I use.
Oh, no way. Really?
I do. And I use, that's my handlebar camera.
Oh, that's awesome.
And it still works good. I have no trouble with it, except when it flies off the handlebars. But it works good.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of one thing I do like with mirrorless is that glass will last a lifetime. You know, that RF mount is new. It's going to outlast me. I mean, when I came up in photojournalism was the Canon EF mount, and they just phased that out a few years ago. So it's not like I'm not going to get my money's worth out of it.
Right.
But
how's the audio with that, though? Do you use a separate device for recording your audio, or are you using...
I do. So I'm currently using the new DJI mic system. The DJI, they're really small. They're amazing little microphones. I used to have Rode before that, and then I started using the DJI.
Okay.
And they're really cool because they have a built-in sound recorder. So if you want to use it on your bike without the GoPro, if you want to say you just have two GoPros, you can sync your audio without having the mic in your helmet. So if you don't want to put the mic in your helmet permanently, you have the ability to just kind of stick the mic in there and run a cable into your jacket or whatnot. So it gives you options.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that's pretty interesting.
The audio is really good with those too.
Yeah, because anybody who uses a GoPro like yourself, you know that the audio is suspect at best.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to get.
No, and the thing that I like too with the DJI cameras is that you can, especially from recording like an install, you can see the meter levels the whole time. You can
tell that's pretty good. That's cool.
Where like with the GoPro, we've all done that. You come back and you're like, what the hell just happened? Like you're talking and then the mic falls out or, you know, you have no idea.
Yeah. Well, and a common problem with the GoPros, as you may be familiar, is the audio adapter. That little bitty little dongle that you have to attach to it, The solution to that is don't use that and just get the media mod, which is so much better. But still,
it's like anything, I think. Yeah. You know, and then the problem is you have two, and I'm sure you're running this now. You got a camera you got a helmet that's this beautiful helmet that's got all this stuff hanging off the end of it. And, you know, do you want to have a camera just to do video, or rather a helmet just to do video, and then another ride helmet? You know, I've been down that route. You're like, this is just stupid.
Yeah, I got a whole array of helmets behind me with for various reasons, but yeah, it is what it is. Your editing process, we briefly talked about that. Do you do anything different that any other YouTuber would do?
For installs, I shoot C-Log, so I shoot, if you're familiar with film, it's basically slide versus print. It's going to give you more latitude. You can color correct more. You can do a lot more stuff with it.
Oh, okay.
Downside, and I shoot 4K. So the downside of it is it's huge. Like, the files are ridiculous to edit. But, yeah. You know, when you're producing at a certain level, and I'm not telling anyone's listening I'm an expert by far, but it gives you the ability to do more. And I think that comes out, especially when you're doing installs and product reviews. Yeah. I think that it does stand apart. Especially with 4K. I mean, in this day and age, you know, 4K is...
What I want to interject here is, if you're shooting in 4K, is that a waste of time? Because not everybody's watching in 4K.
Well, yes. It's 100%, because if you look at my analytics, most of my videos are shot on an iPhone. They're probably in the toilet. They're watching my videos. So it is, but I kind of thought to myself, at least my thought is, you're future-proofing it. Like, sooner or later, 4K is not going to be, you know, 4K is going to be what 1080 was. So, you know, you're producing it at the best content you can.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff, too, is memories. You know what I mean? I want to be able to look back and show my kids. Like, even if it's not, they don't want to watch a seat install or review, they can at least be like, oh, that's cool. That was dad's bike. Or,
yeah.
That's dad.
You know, it's interesting, though, about 4K and even 8K, for that matter. I was talking to my wife about this earlier. Like, for example, you go to a place like Best Buy, for example, and they got all the TVs running, and they're showing you 8K, right? But that is an on-site broadcast from behind the screen that's broadcast in 8K from a little bitty PC about that big, about 4x4. And it's broadcasting that in 8K from that location. It's not coming across your cable lines or your supposed fiber optic line that we know. So regardless of what quality television you may have in your house, I guarantee you are not getting that 4K or 8K broadcast.
Yeah, and you know, and that's marketing too, right? Yeah, because you can go out and buy a Walmart 4K TV for, you know, say $200-$300, or you can go and spend $2,000 on a TV, and they look entirely different, but they're 4K.
Yeah, but you're getting 1080p when you get home.
Yeah, you know, you're looking at crappy Gilmore Girls or something. Somebody's watching this, so it doesn't look any
exactly
better.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
but, you know, it's. I think at the end of the day, you need to know what you're comfortable with, you know, and if that's what you're comfortable with, great. And if you're not, the gear, you could argue the gear can make the content, but the skill set's what's going to make it.
Yeah. And content's also going to make it also.
Yes. I'm sorry. Content is king.
Oh, absolutely.
You see people all the time with GoPros and they're killing it. You know, they're making, you know, they have channels with 200,000 subscribers.
Oh, well, like, we can rattle off a few of them right now.
Exactly.
We know who they are.
And then you watch it and you're like, oh,
yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. So, I don't know. It's just about, I guess it's what you're putting into it and in what you hope to get out of it.
Yeah, I mean, if you're going into this to, what's the quote I heard? If you're going into this to be a millionaire, then you should have started as a billionaire.
It's
just stupid. Like, you know, I was filming the other day, and my camera was flipped off the tripod. And in all fairness, the tripod's 30 years old. But I was like, well, gonna have to get a new tripod because that's gonna get real expensive.
You don't want your camera to.
Yeah,
hit the dirt. That's not good.
You know, it's
camera. Canon R6, huh? Oh.
Yeah, it's a fantastic camera. Wow.
And you're using that for all your off the bike stuff.
Hmm? Correct. Yeah. The only thing I don't use it for is my live streams. I have a Canon M200 that I use for my live streams as a webcam because, you know, overkill.
because overkill. You know, yeah, sure. Yeah, a little Logitech desk camera is just, I mean, it's good enough, but no. Come on.
You bring up a valid point that people are watching my stuff on probably a 5-year-old phone, but I feel better about it.
Yeah, it's okay. You know, watching it on an iPad or something like that. Yeah.
It's a sickness.
It is. It is. You know,
I guess because I come from an IT background, I enjoy the technical aspect of it. So that's,
yeah.
You know, YouTube's my therapy.
No, if you're a techie, like, you know, like we obviously are, you know, I am, you know, if you're a techie, you're going to want to go for all the gear and you're going to overkill and you're going to get your play school TV response out of it. Right.
Yeah, or it's always somebody that's like really like, oh well, the tree in the background was weird. Okay, it's always somebody's not gonna like what you do, no matter what.
Yeah, people are gonna bitch about everything all the time.
I would just say if you're gonna go down this road and start a channel, just take the gear that you have and start with that. If you try and build it opposite, if you're trying to build the roof where the foundation of the house is built, you're not gonna, you know, there's so many things in the beginning that I would have changed going forward.
But, yeah,
you know, it's a process.
Well, seriously, think about it before you even decide that you're definitely gonna make your own YouTube channel. Really give it some good consideration first.
You know, how many people, we all know these people, they go out and they have this killer logo, they spent money on it, they've got stickers and they've got t-shirts and they've got all the swag, but they don't anything out, or if they do, it's like very minimal. It's like, well, you know, maybe put that into doing the analytical side of it, learning that side of it. But you know, it's a rabbit hole, and it's, I mean, everyone gets into it for their own reasons.
Multicam shoots, no?
Only time I do multicam is with the GoPros. You can sync them pretty easy with Premiere Pro.
Yeah.
That's generally, I mean, if I did multicam installs, I either need a sponsor that's writing a big check or probably be living out of a van and being single.
But as far as it goes for on the bike,
on the bike, I use two GoPros.
Two GoPros, yeah. And Premiere Pro lets you go ahead and sync them. Right.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you can also, if you have a separate audio track, like I'll shoot a lot of talking heads and I'll use the audio out of the Rodecaster. It's very easy to sync the audio. It just does it automatically. It's not like the old days where you had to kind of line up the waveforms and get everything perfect.
Yeah. Know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, you know, it's like people are clapping their hands or doing stuff. And we've all done it. But I think it's like anything. The tools can make it better, but it also can make it more complicated. So you have to, you know, I would make the argument, you could give the R6 to anybody, but are you going to be able to use it? And it's not a dig, it's just a different piece of equipment.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. You know? And how much time do you want to spend editing?
Well, yeah, what do they call that in IT? It's like linear progress, right? It's, you're not, your content's improving, but now you got to learn all this. You know, you got to look left to right, where if you would have kept with what you had, you could have went forward.
Yeah, well, we have a saying in the music recording area when it comes to mixing, is like, and the same thing, and it applies to editing too. It's like, you're never done. You just give up.
Mm-hmm. I know plenty of creators that'll shoot something in 4K and then they'll be up against the deadline. Like, I'll just export 1080. Yeah, it's not gonna make any difference.
There you go. Hey, that's because, it. You know, do what you do.
Sometimes you gotta do what you gotta do.
Yeah, exactly. So what's next for Bri the Biker?
What's next? I want to bring back the Beyond the Rider series. You know, and I'm almost kind of upset the way I did it because I'd like to broaden that. I think that it'd be interesting to talk to just other people outside the motorcycle community.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I think the motorcycle community, while it is big, it is very limited at some point.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of have to figure that. I want to bring that series back. Like I said, the recorded version of it, I really enjoy that. I think as we hit 5K, it should open up a lot of different opportunities as far as engagement with companies and do things like that. I want to get back, and I really haven't done much of it. I want to get back to shooting travel stuff. Not a lot of it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just enough where, like we were talking about, we were going to go to North Carolina at the end of the month, and that fell through. But
oh, wow.
I want to try and do like more on the bike stuff, because the joke is, you know, people follow my channel like, this guy doesn't ride, his bike's made out of cardboard. I'm like, I ride, I just don't film it.
Yeah, of course not. Yeah,
prove it to you that I ride.
Right.
So I'd like to bring that back. You know, and I'm really excited to see where the channel goes. I mean, it's I'm finally got to the point now where, and it's going to sound counterintuitive, but I just don't care. Like, I want to do it and I want it to be, but I'm okay with it just being for me. Like, if it flops, it's okay.
Right. Exactly. You know,
I tend to talk a lot about mental health on my channel. That's sort of my thing. And it's kind of woven in, and I put out videos that just bomb, but it reaches a target audience.
Right.
You know, and sometimes that's better. That's more important to me than, you know.
Right. Absolutely. As it should
having
be.
People argue about the FedEx. You know, but you have to find your thing. And that's kind of one thing that I want to get back to doing more is, you know, not being worried about doing videos that are simply for myself.
Right.
You know, and I've got a huge backlog. I really do need to catch up. But yeah, you know, I just want to continue to have fun with it. Because I think if it's not fun, there's no sense doing it.
That's right. If it ain't fun, don't do it. Exactly. Nope. So how can people learn more about your channel and what you're up to next?
All right. So you can follow me at Bri the Biker on Instagram. If you want to get a hold of me, that's the easiest way to get a hold of me. I'm always happy to talk to whoever, give you my thoughts and feedback on something, or if you need more in depth of anything I've dealt with. And YouTube is Bri the Biker. And, you know, I'd love if you would take the time to check it out. It means the world to me. You know, the subscriber and the interactions is what makes this the greatest thing in the world. Like, the community is everything.
Absolutely. Any last words you want to spread to the listeners?
All right, listeners. Just be you. You know, I'm not, you know, someone that's like the ShamWow guy that's on YouTube. You know,
I can't do this all day.
Me. So there's so many people that are trying to chase another channel's idea. Like, you know, we mentioned earlier, like, you're not going to be $1 million Bogan. I mean, you could be, certainly, or you're not going to be a Mr. Beast.
You can't compete. You can't compete with that.
Yeah. You're trying to chase that formula, especially starting out, and there's good and bad to that. Like, just find what works for you and it'll organically grow. People are going to latch on to your brand as to what you do. And, you know, just be yourself. Just have fun with it. Don't overthink it.
Exactly.
Or spend too much money.
Don't spend too much money. You're getting into YouTube, but don't spend any money. Right. Sure. That's fine.
Right? Yeah.
Brian, I want to thank you very much for being on the podcast. You've been absolutely fantastic to talk to. It's been a lot of fun. Hope to talk to you soon. Don't go anywhere. I want to talk to you when we go when we're done, and we'll talk again. All right. Thanks a lot for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. The Motorcycle Man podcast is supporting David's Dream and Believe Cancer Foundation. If you'd like to help those that are dealing with the hardships of cancer and see your money go to those that it affects, get on over to davidsdreamandbelieve.org to donate. Links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Man website. The Gold Star Ride Foundation, now they're helping families of fallen soldiers. If you'd like to be a part of a great cause and get some heartfelt miles in, get on over to goldstarride.org to learn how you can participate in the next Gold Star Ride. And Chasing the Cure, that's right. We're helping long-haul Paul Palin complete his mission to ride a million miles for MS. Now, he was told years ago that a cure for MS was a million miles away, so he decided to ride that million miles for that cure. You can help him by going on over to longhaulpaul.com to donate for his quest for that cure for MS. Thank you for joining me and Brian of Bri the Biker YouTube channel here in the V-Twin Cafe, where he told us all about his YouTube channel and some other really cool stuff. Now, you can learn more by getting on over to YouTube and searching for Bri the Biker. Now, links will be in the show notes and, of course, on the Motorcycle Men website at motorcyclemen.us, or you can also type in motomenpc.com. Either one will work. Okay. Don't forget to get on over to the Ride with Ted YouTube channel, boys and girls. That's right. That's my YouTube channel. Get on over there to watch some of the many videos I have there. The Sturgis videos are on their way up right now. I have these there. You can check them all out. Get an idea of what I went through when I went up to Sturgis. So if you please, get on over there. Also, like and subscribe. It helps out the channel, and of course, it also helps out the podcast. So please, get on over there and do that. For the rest of the Motorcycle Men team, thanks for listening. And remember, boys and girls, we say stupid crap so you don't have to.
Ride safe, kids.